Good Thursday afternoon to you. I'm Stephen Quinn. Welcome back to On the Coast on CBC Radio 1. Coming up in this hour of the program, we have been following his progress here at On the Coast for the past little while. Derek Miller is a local blogger who writes very openly and candidly about his cancer treatment. He's going to join us to talk about his latest phase in his journey. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. Twelve minutes after 5 o'clock on the coast. The name of the blog is Pen Machine, and that's where Derek Miller writes openly about photography and American politics and his journey fighting cancer. He may be a familiar name to some of our listeners, our regular On the Coast listeners. This is Derek's fourth visit to our program, and he joined me earlier to share more of his story. Welcome to you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Stephen. It has been a while. It's been about a year and a half, so things have changed a little. I mean, a year and a half ago, a lot of people didn't know who Barack Obama was, you know.
A whole lot has changed. Yeah. It's an entirely different world. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well as these things go. Well, I'm still here, which is one good sign, because when I got diagnosed with cancer at the beginning of 2007, I didn't know whether I'd last this long, so that's a good sign, and I'm feeling pretty good. I got diagnosed with colon cancer at the beginning of 2007, and I'm 39. I was 38 at the time, which is pretty young. Didn't have a family history of it, wasn't expecting it. Turned out to be pretty serious, and since I was last on the show in June 2007, I've had several major surgeries, one that had me in the hospital for about a month. I lost about 60 pounds and gained it back. I've had a couple of long rounds of chemotherapy. And right now I'm sort of transitioning into a new phase of treatment, which is, I guess, what we're talking about today.
Now, let's tell us, first of all, what the latest is. I mean, you had surgery, which was to some degree successful, but the cancer had spread.
Right. Essentially, the cancer had initially appeared in my lower bowel, which is where colon cancer shows up, and had spread from there into my lungs. Not apparently anywhere else, but there are spots in my lungs, which are pretty small. You know, the biggest one last we saw was about the diameter of a dime, but there's numerous tumors in there, and they're growing slowly and have been ever since. So the surgery that I had in the summer of 2007 seems to have gotten rid of the main tumors. So I, you know, had my intestines disconnected and recently reconnected, and it's been a whole lot of fun. I've gotten used to anesthetics in hospitals and stuff like that. But the chemotherapy that I've tried, which was to try and get rid of or shrink or at least slow down the other tumors, doesn't seem to have been as effective. When you first get diagnosed with cancer, it's, you know, oh my God, I got to get rid of this or I'm going to die.
Right.
Right. And that's sort of the instinctive thing. And I've come to realize over the past couple years that there are a lot of people who don't fit into that category, that there are a lot of people who live with it. And I'm transitioning from the let's do anything to get rid of this and damn the torpedoes, I will take whatever suffering is required. That was sort of what I would do to try and get rid of it. Given that it's not going away entirely, the next phase is to try and figure out how to live with it.
You wrote on October 23rd in your blog, you wrote, I shouldn't waste my life trying to win a fight that likely can't be won.
Yes.
Some people who read your blog took that as some admission of defeat.
You know, what people seemed to take from that initial thing, and, you know, I may have phrased it poorly, was that it sounded like I was giving up. And it's not so much that, it's that the standard course of conventional, you know, radiation, chemotherapy, surgery wasn't doing everything that it needed to do in order to get rid of this. So I needed to move on to, first of all, looking at some more experimental therapies, what they call phase one trials, where it's, you know, new drugs that maybe haven't been tried in humans before or haven't been tried in particular combinations, looking at those, but also evaluating them in terms of, you know, how nasty is this likely to be for my life, and what benefit might I gain from it? Not just automatically taking whatever next thing comes down the line, and also trying some additional things, getting more into exercise and taking some more vitamins and just trying to boost up my health, because I've spent most of the last year and a half feeling like crap from the various treatments and from the disease itself. And right now I'm feeling pretty good. So let's try to maintain that. That's part of what I was looking at as well.
Is there some course of alternative therapy that's hanging out there that you're thinking, do I go do that?
Well, you know, I have a degree in biology, and I'm a pretty hardcore scientific guy, and there's a wide variety of what I would prefer to call complementary therapies out
there.
But the thing is, when you first say that you got cancer, especially when you say it on your blog, you get a lot of suggestions from people that are all over the map. And the difficulty with them is that unless there's some evidence-based studies about them, there's no way to know which one or two or seven might be effective mm-hmm. and which ones might not be and which ones might be harmful. And you can't do them all. And so I'd prefer to look at those complementary therapies in conjunction with whatever studies and other things that might come up that have some evidence behind them. And there are more and more as time goes on. So improving your diet, getting more exercise, doing stuff like yoga and acupuncture and a few other things, they may be able to enhance the effectiveness of whatever other treatments I have. They may be able to help my immune system behave better. And regardless, they're good for me anyway.
Right.
So I don't see any harm in that. I'm not likely to try something really out there that could be harmful or could interact poorly with some of the conventional treatments. And I'm not likely to go to somewhere in Africa that's near a crystal cave and hope that that does something, because I don't put much stock in that.
I'm fascinated with the fact that you are so public about this and that you have been so open and honest about this. Is this for you, or is this for your family, or is this for every other people who have been diagnosed with cancer?
I mean, I'd say it's mostly for me. It just follows, and as I've said previous times I've been on the show, I'm a bit of a ham. I've had this blog for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I set it up to be a cancer blog, and
yeah.
It's not. I talk about a lot of other stuff.
I noticed that.
I have podcasts I'm involved with, and, you know, I go on the radio all the time now. I like doing stuff in public. Maybe in the long run, these are things that might help other people or that my kids can listen to down the line if I don't live as long as I'd like to, that sort of thing. Primarily, I do it for my own benefit and whatever ego stroking comes out of that.
See, again, there's that honesty again. You're beginning a trial. You've been debating for a while whether you're going to take part mm-hmm. in this trial. Tell me about that.
Once you've gone through the standard therapies and they're not doing what they need to do, you get into what they call phase 1 trials, which are, as I said, either the first time particular drugs have been tried in humans after they've been tried in animals or lab models or whatever else, or looking at drugs that are somewhat well known but not publicly available yet because they're still determining how they interact with other drugs or what kind of dosages they're looking at. And this is an interaction trial. So I don't remember the name of the drug. The names are always very long and complicated. But essentially, it's something that's trying to prevent tumors from growing as quickly and trying to block some of the chemical and enzyme pathways that help them grow. And it's been used for a few years now, but it's not publicly available, and they want to see how it interacts with some other drugs. So I'm going to be participating in that. It's a pill, which is nice because most of the time chemotherapy is an IV thing where you mm-hmm. go to the cancer agency and you sit there in a chair for 3 or 4 hours while they pump stuff into you, and then you feel sick for the next 2 days or more. In this case, it's a drug I could take every day. So if the side effects get really nasty, I can talk to the doctors and try to adjust dosages or stop if necessary or do whatever else. The thing I wondered about it was I participating in a study just because they needed to do the study, or was I participating in it with a drug that might actually be useful? And it sounds like it has at least some chance of doing something good, so I'm willing to give it a try.
In one of your blog entries as well, and you mentioned this already, that you've been treating your cancer as though it was something to fight in any way you could, that you're sort of backing off that now and learning to live with it a little bit because you want to spend actual time with your family. How's the family doing?
Well, the family's doing remarkably well. I mean, you know, my wife works as a teacher, and she was here the last time I was here mm-hmm. in the studio. My kids are doing well in school. We're always adjusting what it means, but having cancer is one of the things that's part of my life now. And, you know, I've been off work almost this whole time because I've been going through all these treatments. So there are some benefits. I'm home and able to make sure the kids get to school and pick them up. I'm around a lot. And when I'm feeling relatively well, as I am now, that can be a good thing. Generally, things are pretty good. It's not unrelenting misery, as some people might expect. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in the audience, too, who've seen this. Some people have cancer for 20 years. And go in and out of treatment depending on what's going on, whether you have remission or not. So it's not the automatic death sentence that a lot of people might think it is when you first hear it.
At the same time, though, do you have to temper the way you talk about it with the children? How far into the future can you look with your kids?
Well, the difficulty is right now nobody really knows. I'm certain to be around in months, but in years, I don't know. And how many years, I don't know.
I don't suppose any of us do.
No, but the doctors don't know. Nobody knows. So it's a matter of one day at a time is not a good way to put it, because if you take it one day at a time, you're sort of not thinking about the future. You know, we've been clear with the kids about what's going on. They're 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they understand what the possibilities are, and I need to just keep in mind that, well, one of the things in this new phase, if I want to call it, is to think, what do I want to do with my family in the next while? You know, if I'm in good shape next summer, where do we want to go? What do we want to see? Rather than just thinking, well, I got to work everything around my treatments. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe there are things I want to do, and I want to see how to work the treatments around those.
Do you let yourself be hopeful?
Of course. I'm pragmatic and I'm realistic, but there's a difference between denial and hope. I know that cancer will probably kill me at some point, but I don't know when that is, and I may as well do what I can to make that be as long as possible. I don't know exactly what that means now, but I can at least think now, well, perhaps I'll be around for the Olympics. Perhaps I'll be around to renew my driver's license next time that comes around, because I had to do it last year, and you know, see my kids go to high school and perhaps beyond that. I can plan in those terms saying I would like to do that. That's true for anybody. I mean, everybody makes long-term plans, and there's the proverbial bus you can get hit by at any time, or you get flesh-eating disease, or who knows. There are any number of things that can come to anyone. I'm just more aware of it because mine's already there.
Derek, it's such a pleasure to meet you, and we'll be certainly reading along on the blog, and let us know of any new developments, will you? Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stephen.
That is Derek Miller, a Vancouver blogger who's writing about his progress with colorectal cancer. And to read Derek's blog, you can go to Pen Machine, that's PenMachine.com.